Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Cozy winter is starting to be very cold. I enjoy it. Lots of snow outside. Dead Star says, JF, is it really over for the based rightoids on Twitter? For now, it does look very grim if the punishments of Elon are pursued. Now, I think that Elon has thrown a misdirection today on Twitter. He says an ex-spam/scam bot accidentally flagged many legitimate accounts today. This is being fixed. Now, today, but the right-wingers have been punished on their reach for about 2 weeks. So I don't know, is that unrelated? Or is that Elon Musk trying to take what's a real, like, computer-related accident and try to seed confusion about whether or not he's shutting down right-wing voices? And as someone was noting, isn't it amazing how the accidents always hit on the right? These accidents, they look terribly leftist. It's amazing. We've had the same with YouTube. It's, we banned this account by accident, and then 1 week later, they would ban it for real. Twitter, always the bannings on Twitter were preceded by an accident, by some script. And it's always been right-wingers who are subjected to these accidents. And so I don't know what to think of this announcement of Elon today. Does it mean that it was just an error and that once they fix this bot, all of the right-wingers will be back to equal standing? Or is it totally unrelated and Elon Musk is just realizing that there's people like me? Because yesterday, I unsubscribed from Elon. So I don't know if there's a couple thousands of people like me who did the same. Maybe Elon is like, oh my God, we're losing a part of our support. Maybe it's time to make an announcement. And is it true? Really, is it true that there's really an accidental flag of a spam bot? Or is there something darker behind the scene? Perhaps a revolted employee at the service of the leftist? Or maybe someone who works with Linda Yaccarino and they kind of go against what Elon would want in terms of free speech? I don't know. And is it even what Elon wants, free speech? Because he's the one who's been granting to the ADL their whole freedom of reach argument. So given that he's already granted that to the ADL, it does seem that the shutting down of right-wing voices is unrelated to this accident. And in fact, that's not an accident. It's the policy of Twitter. Frog Eyes says, yeah, I want to unsub from Twitter Blue too. My account feels throttled. Whether I'm blue or not, I cancel and resub every other month to see if it even does anything to my reach. That's a good experiment to do because no one really knows what is it this increased visibility that they claim will affect Twitter Blue subscribers. Given that, well, Twitter Blue check marks have been given away to some celebrities who are refusing to pay. I see some tweets that are not from blue check marks. So there is a way you can be in the official feed of Twitter without having the blue check mark. So it's not clear, like, when I buy the blue check mark, am I really getting more likelihood to go viral? Or is it just that you're going to place my reply above the spam bot replies? It's not clear whether it's really useful. Still, for the principle, I was totally into paying Elon Musk for a platform in which, as long as right-wing voices can go viral when it's deserved. That's all I want. I don't want the right-wing voices to be particularly amplified. I don't even care about the overall amount of coverage we get. I care about, is the game winnable sometimes? And if the game is not winnable sometimes, if if something like Jews digging tunnels in fucking New York to gain control over the city, if we can't go viral with this when Jews are popping up of sewers and running away from the cameras, if that can't be viral, then your platform doesn't work. And it's simple. Like, it's freaking funny. It's happening. We are in a position, those of us who have talked about the Jewish question, we are in a position to be particularly laughing our ass off. I just want to be able to have friends who can laugh with me at the same things. Oh my God. That's all we ask of Elon, and we're not even sure we have it. A donkey meets with the young girl who was caring for him as a baby. These genetic mixings that donkeys aren't particularly talented at voicing their emotion. Frog Eyes says, something I've observed in recent weeks, I am following plus notifications enabled for certain accounts, yet their activity does not appear in my notifications tab. Even when they directly reply to me on X, it won't show up in my notifications. Other people have DM'd me on X and reported the same thing. Yeah, it's very weird. Sometimes, like, interactions that totally should be in my notification, they're not there, and I'm wondering why. Like, someone replying, someone quote tweeting. Some of them show up, some of them don't show up. Stop playing with the universe, Elon. You're not God. Don't be a... an algorithmic controller like this. People are asking, why does this happen? The floor is suddenly cracking and tenting, forming kind of triangles. Popping up, I have two theories, either the presence of a ghost from another dimension or temperature dilation due to poorly built floor. That's why you always have, you know, when you reach the border, some people, when they make a floor, they want it to be tight. And so they arrive at the border of the wall and they will cut the tiles super tight and they will even pack in with cement so that the floor touches the wall. That's not the right way. You have to approach the wall with your tile and you leave a big space of just emptiness. And if you're scared about having emptiness there, if you want to fit it with something, you fit it with polyurethane, something that can contract. So you fill it with a very soft sealant if you're scared about water passing in that hole or something like this, but you don't put cement there. You leave a super big space under the wall, and if that space is visible and you want to hide it, then you hide it by putting a wall mold. I don't know how you guys pronunciate it, but you put some molds on top so that it hides that space, but that space is important. There's also, you can solidify the ground on which the bricks are laid, on which the tiles are laid, and you can do so by adding a layer of cement or adding a thick plywood if you think that the ground itself is not stable enough. Having these two things, so a ground that is super stable, that is strong, and that is thick, and a space on the side for expansion, will resolve this problem. The stock market, expectations versus reality. You expected the Britney Spears of back in the days. You get the Britney Spears of today with the knives and desperately looking at the camera. Oh my God, it's so sad to see Britney Spears doing her knife dances. But leave Britney alone, says New Guy. One of the original memes of the internet. Leave Britney alone! One of the original video that everyone was laughing about. It was a defining moment, this video. Because there you had a guy who was totally invested in defending Britney Spears. And this is where the whole routine of crying or creating drama could lead you to e-celebrity. I think that dude might have been... the bird flu says, lol, that dude was an early flamer trendsetter. Yes, and... There's been, everyone is on the internet. If you work in internet attention gathering, you know these techniques. Like, even I will use them when I can. But when the mainstream media starts publishing stuff about me, drama, personal life drama, or inventing stuff, of course, I'll try to surf on this as much as you have to. And that's what this guy did. He surfed on the drama that was caused around Britney Spears. Wall Street Journal editor-in-chief admits to Davos elite, we no longer own the news. Well, that's what I was telling to the mainstream journalist interviewing me back in many years ago. I was like, you guys are part of a dinosaur system. One way or another, you're going to fail. One way or another in the future is owned by people, independent creators who can tune themselves to the interest of the people in ways that you never had to do. Because you, as a mainstream media, all you have to do is tune yourself to the top of society, because they're the ones paying you. But now the media is tuning itself to the bottom. Thanks to the internet and shrinking press freedoms, legacy media outlets no longer have a monopoly on information and narratives. Wall Street Journal Emma Tucker lamented this loss of control over the facts. I think there's a very specific challenge for the legacy brands, like the New York Times and like the Wall Street Journal. If you go back really not that long ago, as I say, we owned the news. We were the gatekeepers, and we very much owned the facts as well.
When there's a big, big news event, a big world event, people still come to the legacy brands. We still have a lot of trust. But I think you only have to go back. I think we have to maintain that trust, and we have to work at maintaining it in a way that we didn't have to do not so long ago. So if you go back really not that long ago, as I say, We owned the news. We were the gatekeepers, and we very much owned the facts as well. If it said it in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, then that was a fact. Nowadays, people can go to all sorts of different sources for the news, and they're much more questioning about what we're saying. When there's a big...
Well, that is a very desirable state of affair, because there never really was competition. Not competition for the service of media, the service to the reader. There's really always been a competition to attract money flows. But the money flow not coming from the customers is a bizarre aspect of the media. The media being funded top to the bottom has changed the way it has changed what we get to see from the world. New Guy says, yes, JF. Frog Eyes says she's peddling anti-Semitic tropes. Shut her down. Is she? Okay, but I think she was honest. I think she was delivering what she actually thinks. They're going to be in trouble in the long run. One thing that I keep hearing about lately is this principle called posi-vid. The purpose of a system is what it does. And I love the principle. Here, someone is talking about it in relation to feminism, but someone else was also talking about it to me in terms of the Twitter censorship. Like, is it an accident that right-wing voices are being all shut down? This perspective on systems, the purpose of a system is what it does. I love how it cuts through the bullshit. There's no such thing as an accident, basically. And there's what they say on the Wikipedia page is there's no point in claiming that the purpose of a system is to do what it constantly fails to do. So the very idea that a system has a purpose, forget about this, put this on the side. The purpose of the system is whatever it does. And your delusions about what it should have done or what it failed to do are irrelevant. That system does what it does. And Twitter does what it does, which is shut down right-wing voices. That spam bot, supposedly spam bot, that was trying to stop spam, eventually gets recruited, of course, by, of course, if there's a spam bot doing this at Twitter, you know there's going to be a couple of behind-the-scene actors who are paid to report all of the right-wing accounts as spam so that they get into the umbrella of detection of that spam bot. So in the end, your Twitter, the way you program Twitter is to allow a bunch of dark actors funded by dark money to shut down voices. That's what it does. The purpose of a system is what it does. I love this. It cuts through the bullshit. It has this autistic aspect to it. Because I think that the purpose of a system is what it does actually touches upon autistic morality. Because I was reading a PNAS paper back in the days that was showing that autistic people are less sensitive to the intentional information in a scene to judge someone morally, such that they were presenting two cases. A muffin has been poisoned intentionally by a normie. A muffin has been intentionally poisoned, and they're presenting this situation. Someone else eats the muffin, dies, or is hurt by the poison. The normie and the autist both say, okay, that is wrong. Now, they made another scene in which the muffin was bad, and there was poison in the muffin, but it wasn't the fault of the person serving it. And so poison had been kind of accidentally dropped into the muffin or something like this. Now that person serves the muffin to someone else. The artist says it's still bad. The artist have a slightly higher moral judgment over accidental arms. And the artist is like, it's the ultimate bullshit calling against the excuses of the world. It's like, you brought me a poison muffin. You haven't done your job of properly scanning for security flaws. You haven't done the proper... you might as well have put the poison yourself in it if you've not done the proper checks to ensure that there was no poison in the muffin. When you stand by your muffin, you are standing for the safety of the food you bring me. I found this interesting because ultimately what the artist does in this analysis is basically say, for human beings, the purpose of a human is what it does. And I think it gives us insight into how both the autistic mind works and how you can protect ultimately your systems analysis from intentional claims. And then it brings us to where in society are intentions being inserted with the purpose of fooling people. And one place where it's definitely inserted in a way that is often used in an evil way is in the definition of genocide. when you read the definition of genocide, it's like, whoa, it's wide and encompassing. And then you arrive at this word. It's like, okay, well, if you make life horrible for people living in a certain place, then that's genocide. If you kill them, that's genocide. If you target them, that's genocide. If you attack even their ability to educate their children, it's genocide. If you attack the culture in a way that it's not sustainable or has to be displaced, it's genocide. But then you arrive at this sentence that says, if it is done intentionally. And you're like, and it's like, as an artist and from the perspective of the purpose of a system is what it does, what does it really change? Like, are you telling me that I could go around committing all the acts that define a genocide, but as long as I didn't intend them, I would be all good? I would just be carelessly killing people, carelessly keeping people from living in a certain place and destroying their ways of life in various ways. But it's like, oh, sorry, but that was not my goal. My goal was to get there and buy some tacos. The bird flu says accidental genocide, like phosphorus killing up the fish. Yeah, exactly. It does seem that when you drop phosphorus on a civilian population, it does seem like there's some intent to destroy their places of living. I think that intention is an elbow of freedom that the world has given itself that does not belong. And I think ultimately artists may have evolved to call it out, to say, hey, I'm not gonna be your friend if you put poison in your muffins, but you keep telling me that it's not you or that it wasn't intentionally put there. I don't care. You got poison in your muffins. I'm not hanging out with you. Bill Mitchell says, major announcement. Oh, yeah, that was something he said in June. Major announcement. I'm going all in. Unless DeSantis wins the GOP nomination, I will quit social media and politics forever. I can no longer work in a world where a narcissistic, lying criminal like Trump is my party's nominee. DeSantis is in or I'm out. Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Mitchell is leaving social media if he stands by his promise. Now, I'm surprised because today I went to his Twitter account and there he is tweeting. But now your candidate has lost, Bill Mitchell. DeSantis has abandoned the race. He has done the right thing. Now all that's left is for you to honor your promise, Bill Mitchell, leave social media and never come back. John Drake says he won't. They never do. Yeah, these promises are never held. It's like, why are they even doing this? Why, what does that mean anymore when you know that they've all lied on this? Lendald says, of course, he is the top liar in the room, lame shyster. Yeah, it's really too bad because we could have gotten rid of one more boomer, before death takes us apart. We could have been taken apart by the resignation of Ron DeSantis. I think it's really great what Ron DeSantis did. He said that he was siding with Trump. That surprised me because I was starting to see him more and more as a snake, as someone who wasn't siding with America first and who was kind of a double agent who would show his real nature later. And his real nature could have been, for example, to side with Nikki Haley and try to revert the Trump domination. And it would have been dangerous if we got there, but thankfully he did the right thing and he spoke against the corporate vision of the Republican Party and how he doesn't stand by it. he doesn't stand by the Nikki Haley vision of the Republican Party. So I think it's the most positive move I've seen in his whole campaign. Like from siding with the Twitter lady Pusha, the Ukrainian Twitter agent, siding with this kind of person in his campaign was horrible. His boots had horrible looks. His choice of clothes, his demeanor, his themes of the campaign weren't particularly evocative for the national scene. So everything was wrong about Ron DeSantis' campaign, except his last message. This one is good.
Greetings from Florida. The warmth of being home is a reminder why I've chosen public service.
Yeah. One day this warmth will be exactly what the Mexican migrants are looking for, and they're going to instaurate socialism in your fucking sewer jungle. But go on, enjoy the warmth of winter, bitch. Oh, I can't. I have to refresh because it's Twitter video. I mean, Twitter has worked. Twitter has been fixed by Elon Musk, and now they're going back to old Twitter. We're getting the censorship back, and we're getting the videos not playing again. It's like you guys have restored the old Twitter, or what?
Greetings from Florida. The warmth of being home is a reminder why I've chosen public service. From joining the United States Navy and serving in Iraq, to representing the people in the U.S. Congress, and now serving as governor of Florida. And it reminds me why I decided to run for president, to fight for those who have been forgotten in this country. This is America's time for choosing. We can choose to allow a border invasion, or we can choose to stop it. We can choose reckless borrowing and spending, or we can choose to limit government and lower inflation. We can choose political indoctrination, or we can choose classical education. These choices are symptoms of the underlying struggle to ensure that constitutional government can endure and that Western civilization can survive. And we launched this campaign to bring accountability to government, regain sovereignty at our border, and restore sanity to our society. We cannot succeed as a country if we allow our nation to be invaded, our currency to be debased, our cities to crumble, and our kids to be indoctrinated. The DC elites who facilitated this mess do not care about you, and they do not work for you. They work for themselves. They seek to accumulate power at your expense to pursue an agenda that is harmful to the American people. Citizens do not serve politicians. It is the duty of politicians to serve you. Talk is cheap. Actions speak louder than words. Reversing the decline of this nation requires leadership that delivers big results for the people we are elected to serve. I have a record of leading with conviction, championing an agenda marked by bold colors, delivering on my promises, and defeating the people who are responsible for our nation's decline. That is the type of leadership we need for all of America. Now, over the past many months, Casey and I have traveled across the country to deliver a message of hope that decline is a choice and that we can, in fact, succeed again as a nation. Nobody worked harder, and we left it all out on the field. Now, following our second place finish in Iowa, we've prayed and deliberated on the way forward. If there was anything I could do to produce a favorable outcome, more campaign stops, more interviews, I would do it. But I can't ask our supporters to volunteer their time and donate their resources if we don't have a clear path to victory. Accordingly, I am today suspending my campaign. I'm proud to have delivered on 100% of my promises, and I will not stop now. It's clear to me that a majority of Republican primary voters want to give Donald Trump another chance. They watch his presidency get stymied by relentless resistance, and they see Democrats using lawfare this day to attack him. Well, I've had disagreements with Donald Trump, such as on the coronavirus pandemic and his elevation of Anthony Fauci. Trump is superior to the current incumbent, Joe Biden. That is clear. I signed a pledge to support the Republican nominee, and I will honor that pledge. He has my endorsement because we can't go back to the old Republican guard of yesteryear, a repackaged form of warmed over corporatism that Nikki Haley represents.
That is pretty good to be calling out Nikki Haley and to be the second position there. you know, you could hang out to the second position and try to hope to gather everyone who hates Trump and try to hope to get to 50%. But to be in the second position and to be saying, look, even the person below me, I will call her out for being a representative of the corporatist view of the Republican Party. I'm kind of surprised that he goes as strong as this. It had seemed to me that given the people he was surrounding himself with, that he was letting a door open to a kind of non-populist type of campaigning. But he's definitely here siding with Trump. That's very good. Very graceful way to exit in a way that doesn't perpetuate the drama in the Republican Party. And now it's about Nikki Haley, Nimrata. Will she do the same? Will she realize that, hey, if the person above me has given up because he has no chance, then certainly I have no chance, right? New guy says, whoa, Odyssey did some funky flashback. Yeah, Odyssey is weird. It kind of refreshes the window or the header part. It's kind of weird these days. I don't know why it does this. Phantom of the Odyssey says, it wasn't a bad address. Yes, it was good. Lendald Gontram says, all nice mainstream conservative talk, but those associations, right? What do you mean, the associations of Ron DeSantis? John Connor says, why the fuck do we care if Trump gets in? The ship is going down regardless. I agree with this. We should not see the Trump coming as a savior for all of humanity. But under Trump, we'll get a running economy. We'll get a slightly dismantled deep state. Slightly weaker support for Israel. So it's like, we're going to get comfortable years. I'm sorry, but the 2016 to 2018 years were very comfortable years. Economically, the country was thriving. Everything was thriving, even up to Canada. Even the positives are even experienced by someone like me in Canada. So Trump is like this. He restores the functioning of the country to kind of a normal state. And that is kind of desirable, at least in the short term, even if that doesn't save white people. And let's not forget that Trump has made a massive shift onto the Supreme Court. John Connor says, you're not an accelerationist, JF. Isn't it better to just get the clown show over with? I mean, as I've often said, accelerationism is not a political strategy. The fact is, you wishing that things accelerate, or you thinking that some candidate is accelerating the process of the fall, all of this is pretty delusional. I like accelerationism as a psychological coping tool. Like, if you're really stuck in a shitty situation, like when I was censored on Twitter, when Twitter was really shutting down any sort of discussion of any of the themes I cared about, which was anything from COVID to Jewish question to right-wing talking points on race. When you're really, really down, accelerationism is a nice way to self-regulate. Tell yourself a story about these evil people. One day they will pay for what they're doing. One day the very system that they now control, in fact, will crumble because of their control. And one day they will pay the price of what they're doing. So kind of telling yourself the accelerationist narrative while you are powerless is a kind of relief. A kind of relief that, all right, let's enjoy that fall, because in the end, even the leftists, you know, are suffering more than us throughout the fall that they're causing. like as they make the government more and more unable to address the needs of the people, as they remove power to individual decision making and individual success, and they destroy the society that they live in and on which they in fact depend more than someone like me, who's kind of a survivalist, self-sustaining capitalist. Even the capitalist enjoys the fall more than the communist leftist, who has really nothing going for them other than the fact that, yeah, they do control our nations. But not in a way that they're even competent enough to direct any success toward their way. So that is how I like my accelerationism. As a psychological coping tool, as a reminder that, all right, even when it's really, really bad, it's not so bad. But I don't think that accelerationism is something we should design long-term plans over. We should enjoy and be opportunistic about when these occasions for acceleration happen. I don't think right now that Joe Biden is a particularly strong accelerationist candidate. So the choice is between Trump and Biden, and I don't think that a beautiful case can be made that Biden will destroy civilization within 4 years. Of course, the country is going to suck under Biden, but it's not going to suck enough for an absolute destruction of the country, certainly not. DeSantis ends 2024 presidential campaign and endorses Trump. Florida governor who entered the Republican presidential primary as Donald Trump's greatest threat announced Sunday that he is ending his White House bid and endorsing the former president. DeSantis' decision came after days of conversations with donors. It became clear over the weekend that there was neither the rationale nor the financial support to continue his candidacy. DeSantis and his wife, Casey, made the decision Sunday afternoon, surprising many of his rank-and-file staffers and supporters. DeSantis called top donors personally and told them that he had woken up that morning and decided there was no path to winning and it was time to get out. All right. Excellent. So Trump has the way clear. Nikki Haley is complaining about racism. It's like, yeah, woman, I'm white. I am the most hated race in the world, because as it turns out, the most hateful races in the world are the blacks, the Asians, and they look at us and they hate us at a higher rate than we can ever hate them. But no, she wants to say to the people that she has been the victim of racism.
If you want to know what it was like growing up, I was disqualified from a beauty pageant because I wasn't white or black.
You were disqualified from the beauty pageant because you were not beautiful enough. That's the problem.
Because they didn't know where to put me. So look, I know the hardships, the pain that come with racism. If you want to know what it...
Those are not talking points for a Republican candidate. Just go in the Democrat Party where you belong. And as far as beauty pageants, you don't belong there. You're not beautiful enough. Zelensky lashes out at Trump over a very dangerous plan to end war. So as the Trump presidency becomes more and more likely, Zelensky is starting to shake because Zelensky remembers the times when he had to beg Trump to get any check from the American government. And since Trump has gone from the office, it's been getting easier and easier for Zelensky to get infinite amounts of money. Now, if Trump comes back, I suspect that the Ukraine-Russia war will be officially over. I think that within 24 hours, Trump can stop this war, can tell Zelensky, you're not going to get one more dollar from America. Even if the Congress votes for it, I'll block the check. I will put you on the list of terrorist organizations. I don't know that Trump will go as hard as this, but he could. He could do like he's done last time, where there was a check signed by Congress to Ukraine, and Trump decided to delay it by saying, oh, we need to investigate the destination of the funds. That was absolutely beautiful. That's exactly what we need. We need a president that just stops this money flow, which is serving death. And just to show you how this is really moving, how cheap human life is on the front line. Because this money flow from the US to the Ukraine is justified by sending a couple of human beings in meaningless tanks that are just lining up against the Russian army and that are just there to die. These people are just there to die. And look at how cheap it has become to get rid of either a Ukrainian or Russian soldier. They have little drones. The drone looks like toy drones, like the kind of toy drones you could buy for $30. I don't know what's the price of these military ones, but look at how cheap human life is. You have a guy that's been sent there. He has a tank in a place where there's no chance your tank will have any use. You're in an open field. You are not camouflaged. You have all this kind of camouflage-looking stuff on your tank, but you're not camouflaged at all. This is the modern world. They're not only seeing him via drone from a camera. They have a smaller drone. A smaller drone, like $30 drone, will come and will just start following him like a mosquito until it explodes. This is how cheap human life is on the front line, ladies and gentlemen. За кожен тривожний ранок, за Харків і тюльпани, за Одесу. Look at this. It's a little toy drone. A kid could be driving this. It's a little helicopter. And now it's getting closer and closer. This guy is trying to hide somewhere close to the tank. За Рівний, з Долбанів, за Полтаву, Львів і Полі, за Київ, Луцьк, за Вінницю, за Миколаїв, Долі, за Чернівці, Черкаси, Тернопілі, Кривий Ріг, за Запоріжжя і Житомир, і за Крим, забуться гріх. And there you go, you're dead. You're dead for the price of a mini drone and a mini bomb. And how are you going to hide from this? Maybe if you're in the tank, this drone can't do anything. But at some point, you're going to have to get out of the tank. This drone will be there. It will just follow you around. You can run around your tank all you want. It can wait that it gets to you anywhere you are. Suburban says, that is fucking sick in the bad way. But why are we sending human beings to these meaningless border enforcement? We all know what the current border is. All we need is a little signed paper that Zelensky would accept to sign that ends the war. Putin has indicated his openness to it. How many humans like this do you want to die with millions of dollars invested in their tanks, which are now lost? So millions of dollars thrown, just millions of dollars of bullets, grenades, missiles, the life of a man, all of this for a cheap drone. It's absolutely useless to continue this, and Zelensky wants to continue this. That's why he's worried that Trump would have a plan to end the war. Trump's persistent statements. The GOP presidential frontrunners claim that he can negotiate peace between Kiev and Moscow within 24 hours. That is one of the things that Trump said. So I'm confident he totally can, because the conditions for peace are already there. All that's needed is for a US president to tell Zelensky, you're going to stop being a fucking deluded schizophrenic. You're going to stop thinking that you can get back Crimea. You're going to get whatever it is that you currently occupy. That's your nation now. And if you don't like it, I'll be helping Putin to bomb the rest of it. I mean, it's over. Just say this. And no more dollar goes to Ukraine. It is all over. That raised fist says that's not a negotiation. Well, it's the negotiation that I would do. Call it whatever you want. You're right that it's not so much a negotiation. It's more like an imposed decree. Here, I decree that Zelensky must stop the war now, or else I'm going to carpet bomb his nation. Nothing, says JF. Got any recommendations on MNR spectroscopy books for beginners? What the fuck is this question? And I know spectroscopy a little bit, but NMR. NMR. Nuclear magnetic resonance. Oh, okay. Well, no, I don't have recommendations for you because I've never practiced this. I didn't even know the term. So no, I'm not not a spectroscopy specialist. You're going to have to trust other people. Thomas Howard says, any plan for peace in Ukraine ends badly for Zelensky. His motivations are transparently self-serving. Yeah, that's another problem. What happens with Zelensky once the war is over, once he has run out his purpose for whoever were his puppet masters? That's a good question. I don't even know. You know, I think that his wife commented on, you know, leaving somewhere and not having to care about presidency stuff anymore. But I don't know. Is that possible for Zelensky? Or will there always be a Russian sniper somewhere? Or maybe even a Ukrainian sniper trying to get him down? Cloud Warmer says, Jeff, do you have white pills? Do I have white pills? No. Oh, yeah, well, I, Hypocrite, came with an invention, a smoke detector, but it says the N-word when it has a low battery, so black people will hear it. So that's a white pill. The problem of black people's smoke alarm beeping has been resolved. If the beep was saying the N-word, that would save lives. They would be able to know and then therefore change the battery. A heart. Do you want to see a heart working on screen? If you are a sensitive person, you should turn off the screen because here's a fully living heart. Wow, it's pumping a lot of juice. So I don't know, that may be the state in which they have to keep the heart outside of the body, maybe during a transplantation. And perhaps before the full transplantation, they're making some kind of a test, plugging in some tubes and seeing, okay, does it pass the blood correctly? Wow. It's such a powerful pump that just lives inside of us. And it has to beat all of your life. This stops beating for 10 seconds, you're dead. Banzal says, oh, they do heart transplants. Yeah, definitely. Heart transplants. Yeah, I think they do that. I think. They do pretty much anything transplant, except the nervous system. The nervous system has been a hard-to-transplant organ. Thomas Howard says, JF bringing the interesting video clips tonight. Yes. And as far as Elon goes, well, I said to Elon, we need transparency, Elon. Let flag accounts be labeled publicly. That way we can tell whether you're just making up a story to hide your shutdown of right-wing voices in the last 2 weeks, or if this accident, quote, also concerns them. If we had just a little label on our account that says, hey, your account has been judged to be a spam account, that would fix all of the problems. And you would know even earlier that your bot made an error, because you'd have people complaining, saying, oh yeah, this account, I know him, he's not a spam account. But you don't have this because you don't have transparency. Transparency solves all of your problem, Elon. Dead Star sends a super chat. He says, Jeff, what do you think about a second term Trump going hardcore protectionist? Completely crippling global trade is an easy exercise of presidential powers. Definitely, that's in the head of Trump. Trump is very much into correcting what he calls the budgetary imbalance of exports and imports or whatever. He's really all about not buying from the outside and rather trying to produce in America. Trying to kind of restore the America of manufacturing. So it's possible that you would see such an attempt by Trump to do this, and that he would put tariffs. It's been his MO during his first presidency, and he may go even harder. Now, am I for this? From an American nationalist perspective, I think it makes sense to restore the manufacturing of America. In a way, America was kind of misguided to be exporting so much manufacturing from just a jobs market perspective. At the same time, does it really, like, if you're talking about cheap labor in America with the infinite flows of legal and illegal migrants coming in, having jobs in America will not necessarily serve the white American people anymore. In fact, we were seeing that a lot of jobs, actually the vast majority of job productions, even under Trump, go to non-whites. So you have to keep in mind that this whole discourse of we're going to bring back jobs to America, it doesn't mean that it's going to be good for white people. And one can ask the question, isn't it better, ultimately, to have the manufacturing done outside of America by brown people and keep these brown people outside of America in the process? So I understand the Trump perspective. I'm not super sure that jobs in America, that his agenda for this, will be positive for us. I think it will be more an expansion of the demand for low-skill worker who will be making too little. It's not going to be the bringing back of really well-paid job like you had for the boomers. So I don't know what to say. I'm on the fence on the whole nationalist jobs, civic nationalist job perspective, job creation perspective. Stephen Robinson says, Jeff, what do you think about X payments? Will Elon use XRP? The particular cryptos that he will choose to use, I have no particular insight on it. I have no particular fascination with what its choice will be. I'm sure that whatever his choice will be will have some kind of a little bull run in reaction to it. I don't particularly care at this point. I think he's probably going to choose BTC, and he's probably also going to put something like Doge just to say that he's not creating a monopoly, that he's opened to other currencies. But XRP, Frog Eyes says, lol, XRP tards coping. It's like everyone has their currency that they... You guys have been trying to build alternate currencies to Bitcoin because you wanted to get rich, but you forgot to make your thing a useful currency. Like, XRP has no use whatsoever. At this point, I can get an ETH or Bitcoin transfer within minutes, within 1 minute. I don't know what else I need. I have all of the smart contract capabilities under ETH, and then I have the speedy delivery of funds, and I have the low fees on BSC chain. What is XRP function? What is its function? Why would I care about XRP? Why would Elon want to have XRP? Basically, you are demanding that Elon does a bull run for you because you have XRP in your wallet, because you want to get rich. And if Elon is clever, he will see you coming. And he's going to refuse for his popularity to be used to enrich a bunch of people who have just put their funds in the wrong currency. Frog Eyes says, Ripple tards are the ultimate sellouts. This is the big finance, deep state approved coin. This is the great reset coin. This the deep state will adopt. What do we have before we end the show? Fuck these cops. It's a lesson to him. NYC woman makes self-incriminating statements after car ramming attack caught on video. What's the goal of this jazz music? No, it's Frederick von Finkel says insurance scam. Well, if it was an insurance scam, she would have better planned to claim it's an accident. She's not even claiming it's an accident. She says, she said, fuck these cops. It's a lesson to him. So she intended to hurt the cop. She intended to ram on the cop. Of course, she was parked, and so the acceleration isn't high enough to kill someone if you start parked like this and he's a couple of centimeters in front of you. But she did hurt him. But now that she's self-incriminated, she's gonna have to go to jail. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I will see you all tomorrow.